In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To begin again, we're going to do the Hours of the Passion worldwide, each time zone throughout the world. Starting Holy Thursday and going through the 24 hours to Good Friday. All we need is 24 people in each state, or each, if you want to say, country, and in each time zone. And to really intensify our prayer and really bring about, this is what we're hoping for, a greater than Nineveh worldwide. We want to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught little Louisa. So again, it's a really a wonderful time. This is what the little children of the divine will in Brazil brought about with Father Adrado. Yes. It's a new beginning for everyone. I mean, we really want to get this thing going. It's a great thing to repair and redo. So where we are now is the Supreme Will. This is volume 20, 10, 9, 1926. The Supreme Will is now hindered by their own self. Okay, so the human will reigning hinders the divine will. But when it becomes known, its rays, these are divine rays of the divine will, vivifying, penetrating the full and full of vivid divine light, shall eclipse the human misery, the human will. You have to remember, the human will is misery. How do we know? That's what you say when you go to confession. All your weaknesses and your failures, your human ingratitudes, you know, all of that is our human will. He says, so we have to recognize it as our human misery. That shall be dazzled by the refulgent light in seeing the great good that comes to the human will. The divine will shall give freedom of action. Shall give freedom of action to my most holy divine will, giving the divine will total dominion. What's coming is his, what God planned from the beginning with Adam, so that mankind be in God's image and likeness. Excuse me. While I was praying, I saw that my highest good, Jesus, was coming out from Louisa in a great hurry from the depth of Louisa's interior, pushing a bundle of light that was above him and keeping him in as though eclipsed under this divine light inside of Louisa, preventing Louisa from seeing Jesus. Now here, she's talking a divine language with human understanding. This is why for all eternity, we're going to learn what this is about. This is going to happen to us as well. To understand this divine language, most people say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, we have to learn this language of heaven. That's why reading, studying, and putting it into practice, like Louisa, is essential for us. So pushing it hurriedly, Jesus came out from Louisa's interior. And Louisa says to Jesus, my Jesus, what is it that you are in such a hurry? Now listen to this. This is going to show you the importance of the priesthood, why the priesthood is necessary in the divine will. He says, excuse me. You know, even from within you, Louisa Picaretta, I, Jesus, heard the priest, heard the Father, who took our writings with him and speak about the divine will to those who surrounded him with so much love that I, Jesus, felt wounded deep into my heart. When the priests see, Louisa says to the priests in the three appeals, if you read the three appeals to the second appeal, she says to you priests, she says, you feed the people a cold and stale bread. And they find it difficult to digest. Louisa says to the priests, if you teach them the divine will, they will devour this food and they will follow what your direction. What is the direction? The direction for the priest is to lead the people into the kingdom. As the priests begin to read this, and don't be discouraged if they don't. It takes, when you introduce especially the 24 hours of the Passion to the priest, when you introduce the 24 hours of the Passion to the priest, what happens at that point is it's a seed that's planted in the ground. And the laity's job is to help the priests begin to embrace this gift of gifts. It's the same thing that happened, you know, at Bethlehem. No priest showed up when Jesus was born. None of the scribes, the Pharisees, none of the Sadducees were there. It was the shepherds. It was those that tended the sheep. It was the wise men. These are the rejected. These are the little ones. And it wasn't until the priests in the Jewish time said, crucify him. It wasn't until they said that may his blood be upon us and upon our children that the priests began to understand who Jesus was. So don't get discouraged. When you read Acts, it says the apostles and the presbyters. Who were those priests? It was the priests of the temple. It was the priests of Jerusalem who understood who Jesus was. And they worked with the apostles, the first bishops, to begin to share this kingdom of redemption. You know, don't ever get discouraged. That's a work of the devil. God knows what he has planned. And what he's asking of us is to trust him, to believe in him, to hope in him, to have confidence in him. So he says this. I've got to find out where I am. Okay. So I, God, wanted to come out of you, Luisa Picaretta, in order to listen to the priest. Those are my own words. You see what this is about? That I, Jesus, have spoken about my divine will and that resounded to my hearing. These are not the words of Luisa. These are the words of Jesus. And he says this throughout the writings. He says, Luisa, these are not your truths. They're mine. This is not your book. It's my book, Jesus says. I, Jesus, hearing my own echo through the priest, and therefore I, God, want to take all the delight in listening to the priest. And I want to let you take it as well. Listen to the priest who's in the divine will. This is very, very important. It's Luisa that Jesus is showing this to. And as a reward for the sacrifices you have made, sorry. At that moment, Luisa said, I saw a ray of light coming out of Jesus that extended so much as to reach the place where the Reverend Father was, and investing the priest, it made the priest speak, and Jesus was all consoled in hearing him speak about his most adorable will. It's the priests that have been given this responsibility. Jesus says this. Father Bucci says it very clearly. He says, it would be foolish for a lay person to stand at the altar and say, this is my body, this is my blood. Why would it be foolish? There's no ordination. There's no priesthood there. What Jesus is saying to Luisa is the priest is in charge of the first bread, the bread of the divine will. And that's why he says to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Not only with the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, where we receive Christ and until it dissolves 15 minutes after we received it, that real presence in a mystical way is gone. But what Jesus is saying to us is he wants us to begin to live this abundant life now. How? Through his church, through his priesthood. So we begin on volume 20. 10, 13, 19, 26. Look at the sky. It is an image of this. If you look at it at night, you see studded stars. But if you look at it during the day, the stars no longer exist for the human eye. So he's showing us about the saints. The saints are the stars. What God is bringing to the earth is the sun. The night is coming to an end. That's why Our Lady says this time is over. We're going to enter into the sun, the new day, the abundant light of the divine will. However, the stars are still in their place in the sky, just as at nighttime. Who had this strength to make the stars disappear, though they are present in the full daylight? It was the sun. What did the Vatican do? It came out with a book, The Sun of My Divine Will, Luisa Picaretta. You have to understand, something glorious is coming. And Jesus is asking us, he's asking us, are you willing to participate in this? This, with the strength of its light, it eclipsed them, but it did not destroy them. And this is so true that when the sun begins to set, so do the stars return and make themselves seen in the vault of the heavens. It seems that they are afraid of the light that they hide to give field to the action of the sun, light of the sun, because in their mute language, they know that the sun contains more effects of good for the earth. And it is right that they give field to the great action of the sun. And so as homage to the sun, they let themselves be eclipsed by its light. But as the eclipse ends, so do they make themselves be seen present in their place. So it shall be, listen to this, so shall it be between the sun of the knowledges of my supreme fiat, that's the book of heaven, and the human will. The human wills that shall remain shall let themselves be illuminated by the rays of light of my knowledges. These shall bring the eclipse. Oh, this is so beautiful. These shall bring the eclipse to the human wills that in seeing the great good of the action of its divine light, the human wills shall feel ashamed and afraid to act with the human will. The mankind will be ashamed and afraid to act with the human will. Why would you be ashamed and afraid? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. That's what we're going to be ashamed and afraid to act with their human will any longer. And they shall give, these are the little children of the holy divine will, give free field to the action of the light, divine light of the most holy divine will. Therefore, the more you pray, this is, again, the book of heaven, the more you suffer in it, suffering with Jesus crucified, the more knowledges you draw to be manifested to you, the more that you read, study, and put this into practice, the stronger the light becomes, so as to be able to form the sweet eclipse for the human will. In this way, I, God, listen to this, shall be able to establish the kingdom of the supreme fiat. God's going to do this. How's he going to do this? By this gift of gifts, by this prodigy of prodigies that he gave to Luisa Picaretta. Volume 20, 10, 22, 1926. My word is like a mighty wind that runs, pounds on the hearing. This mother of a granddaughter is reading the divine will to the little grandchild. The child's DNA is being changed. How? Jesus is speaking to that child. Yeah, same thing with us. When you read the divine will, we are being changed. We are being repaired. God is renewing in us this divine life. If you want to do something great, read, especially, you know, during Lent, the Hours of the Passion, especially if you can do that on Holy Thursday and Good Friday. Find 24 people. That's all we're looking for in each state, in each country, in each time zone. I mean, if this is being prayed worldwide, that 24 hours, the whole 24 hours. So at 6 o'clock, you read the 6 o'clock hour. At 7 o'clock, you read the 7 o'clock hour. The world is going to change. Jesus is going to intervene. Excuse me. It covers the whole world and wanders through all centuries. There's no time or space with the divine will. Who could ever give death and bury one word of God? No one. And if sometimes it seems that my word is silent, it is as though hidden, it never loses divine life. When least expected, the divine life comes out of that word and goes around everywhere. What is it doing? It's restoring mankind. To what? To the image and likeness of God. The kingdom is coming. Volume 20, 10, 26, 1926. My daughter, See how all the acts I did in redeeming man and even the miracles I, Jesus, performed in my public life had no other purpose but to call back the kingdom of the supreme fiat into the midst of creatures and in the acts of doing them. I asked my celestial father to make it the divine will known and to restore the divine will in the midst of the human generations. This is the whole reason for Jesus coming to earth, to repair and redo what Adam destroyed, the kingdom, the divine will reigning. If I gave sight to the blind, my first act was to put, listen to this, to put to flight the darkness of the human will, the primary cause of the blindness of the soul and of the body, so that the light of my divine will might illuminate the souls of many blind. This is Jesus is talking about our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. Many people are blind and they continue. They say they love Jesus and the church, but they continue to live lives of wickedness. So that the light of my divine will might illuminate the souls of the many blind, that they may obtain the divine sight to look at my divine will in order to love the divine will, and their bodies also might be exempt from losing sight. So the second reason was for the eyes to see. The first reason was to see interiorly from a divine perspective what God wants. Volume 20, 1029, 1926. I love man and the sun, not the sun. And therefore I placed in it love of necessity because the sun was necessary for the earth, having to serve the plants as well as being the being of mankind. Love of light that was to illuminate mankind. Love of fire that was to warm mankind and all the effects that this sphere produces that are innumerable. The continuous miracle placed in the vault of the heavens that descend with its light for the good of everyone, past, present, and future. I, God, centralize so many specialties of love towards mankind in the sun for as many goods and effects that it produces. So the sun shows us what God has planned. To live without the sun, can you imagine? To live in total darkness is not what God wants anymore. He wants the Son of the divine will to reign in us, which is the book that came out of the Vatican. And if you don't have the book, let me know. We can get you the book so that you can read it. It's amazing what's coming. Volume 20, 1110, 1926. While you follow its acts, you receive the reflection of the heavens. And the heavens are formed and extended in you. And you receive the reflections of the sun. And the sun is formed in you. You receive the reflections of the sea, and the sea is formed in you. Now, all of this is gift. You remember Francis says, sun and moon, brother, sun, sister, moon, that prayer. He had a glimpse of the divine will. The Canticle of Daniel, sun and moon, praise the Lord. Nights and days, praise the Lord. You know, he had a glimpse of the divine will. Now, Jesus is showing us all of this, when you follow the acts of God, will be formed in you as well. This is how Adam lived. This has been lost. Jesus lived it. Our Blessed Mother lived it. The new Adam and the new Eve. This is what they gave to the newborn Luisa Picaretta. You receive the reflection of the wind, of the flower, and all of nature, and some of everything. And oh, how the heavens that protect, the sun that illuminates, warms and fundicates, the sea that inundates, that forms its waves of love, of mercy, of grace, of strength for the good of everyone. The wind that purifies and brings rain over the souls burned by passions. The flowers of perpetual adoration to your creator. They arise from the depth of your soul. This is what the image and likeness of God is. Jesus is giving to Luisa and to us now what the image and likeness is all about. To participate in God. To be one with God, not to be God, but to be in God's image and likeness. That's why we were created. Everything that's out there belongs to us. Sun and moon. I mean, how can you pray to the sun and moon? Because they're ours. They belong to us. This is the gift God has given you. It's not just, oh, a beautiful sunrise. Oh, a beautiful sunset. No. everything that exists, every flower on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every snowflake, every drop of water is an I love you to us in creation. Adam recognized that. Jesus and Mary recognized that. This is what they taught Louisa. Remember when Louisa went into the garden and Jesus said, when she was at the orphanage of St. Anthony's, Jesus said to Louisa, this garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden. It's not as beautiful, but it's a simile. And he says, I want you to begin to live this life that I gave to Adam. I want you to begin to live this life praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God in his most holy divine will. Your whole prayer life changes in the divine will. This is what God has planned. And he's saved the best for last. He says this, excuse me. Oh, how the heavens that protect, the sun that illuminates, warns, fundicates, or the seas that inundates and forms its ways of love, of mercy, of grace, of strength for the good of all of mankind. The wind purifies and brings rain over the souls burned by the human passions. The flowers are perpetual adoration to your creator. Rise from the depths of your soul. This is why it is the prodigy of prodigies. This is why the divine will is the prodigy of prodigies. The living in my divine will is the true triumph of the supreme fiat of God. Because the soul becomes the reflector of her creator, of all of God's works. In fact, only when the divine will places in the soul what it can and knows how to do, then does our most holy divine will triumph completely. He's asking us to triumph completely. Remember, our Lady says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. What is her triumph? That we become like Jesus. We don't become Jesus. We become like Jesus in his image and likeness. That's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to do what Jesus has done. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. He is breathing in our breathing. We're doing what Jesus is doing. He's allowing us to experience him breathing in our breathing. What does that do? It transforms the face of the earth. It's God in us. Why do we receive Holy Communion? To become like God, image and likeness. Why do we have the divine will? To become like God. Jesus says this, you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? He says, you must be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. How can we become perfect? We're fallen human nature. It's in the divine will. He saved the best for last. You have to understand what God is doing. No saint is seen. He says that to Louisa often. I've taught this to no one. How can that be? Well, he did that to Faustina, the Divine Mercy. He did that with St. Margaret Mary, the Sacred Heart. He did that. That's how God is. He's filled with surprises. He's filled with divine realities. And the human intellect, he says, the human mind is mere foolishness to the mind of God. Wait till you begin, just begin to understand what God is doing. Your life becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy. The divine will wants to see in the soul not only the one who created her, listen to this, but all of God's works. It is not content if the soul lacks even the slightest thing that belongs to God's most holy divine will. He wants us to possess everything. The souls of the supreme fiat shall be our divine works. He says, that's why he says, little children of the holy divine will be the crown. The crown that I'm crowning my church with. It's the ultimate gift to my holy church. This is what's coming. He says, not incomplete, but complete, as they shall be the new prodigies never before seen, never before known, either by heaven, earth, or by heaven. See, these are hidden from the angels and the saints in heaven. It's even hidden from the Blessed Mother. What God is going to bring about will even surprise the Blessed Mother of how much he loves us, how much he has planned for his children. What shall not be the enchantment? What shall not be the surprise of the very blessed, the very saints in heaven when they see the first daughter, Luisa Picaretta, of the Divine Fiat, enter into the celestial fatherland. What shall their contentment, their glory may not be in seeing Luisa carrying her creator with her? How can this be? The Blessed Mother did this. Okay? Luisa possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. That's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's what's coming. Don't limit to what God has planned. What's coming is glorious. And so what is God doing? He's shutting down everything. Why? So that we can go to our room and pray. That's what Jesus says. What do we pray? Read the book of heaven. Let Jesus teach you what he has planned. It's glorious. It's magnificent. Listen to what he says. He says, what shall their contentment and their glory, their divine glory not be in seeing Luisa carrying her creator with her, with all of God's works, the heavens, the sun, the sea, and all the flowery earth with its varied beauties. God has given this to mankind. Adam abandoned it. Jesus and Mary come to earth. Why? To give back to man what was lost, redeeming mankind. And now is the time for the kingdom to be established. Remember the gospel yesterday. You are close to the kingdom. He repeated what Jesus said. To love the Lord your God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you're not far from the reign of God. Now we're going to repeat what Jesus said to Luisa. And Jesus says, now the kingdom can begin. He's ready. He's ready for this to happen. They shall recognize in Luisa the complete work, the eternal will, because it alone can make these prodigies and these complete works of God exist. We haven't seen anything yet. This is glorious. Volume 20, 12, 20, 28, 19, 26. In all the sayings, all the truths, all the examples that I, Jesus, make you, Luisa, write on paper, I, God, make flow the divine dignity of my celestial wisdom. Jesus is teaching us in such a way that those who read them or shall read them in the future, if they are in grace, in the state of grace, they shall feel within themselves my divine tenderness, the firmness of my speech, the light of my wisdom, and as though being in between magnets, they shall be drawn into the knowledge of my most holy divine will. This is the first bread that God wants us to eat. He's feeding us with his truths. Those who are not in grace then shall not be able to deny that it is divine light, and this divine light always does good and it never does harm. It illuminates, it warms, it makes one discover the most hidden things and moves one to love them. Who can say he does not receive good from the Son? No one. More than Son, I am. He uses God's name. I am more than Son. Issuing these writings from within my heart, that they may be do good to everyone, past, present, and future. This is why I, God, have so much interest that you write. What does Jesus say to us? This is why I, God, have so much interest that you read. Study this. Put this into practice. He's speaking to us. A new era has begun. The kingdom of God is not at hand, as he said to the young man in the scriptures. The kingdom of God now begins for those souls who are reading and studying and putting this into practice. We're no better than anybody else. As a matter of fact, we're probably worse. But what Jesus is asking of us is to begin to live this abundant life. It's a new beginning for all of mankind. And he's looking at us. He's saying to us, do you comprehend what I'm doing? I brought the kingdom of redemption, Jesus said, to my apostles and the presbyters 2,000 years ago. Now I'm bringing the kingdom of the divine will to mankind through this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. Jesus says, this is why I, God, have so much interest that you write. This is why I, God, have so much interest that you read. You have to begin to do this. If you want this gift, it's not just saying, oh, I want it and I possess it. It doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. You've got to learn this. You've got to study this. You've got to put this into practice. Jesus says, I will give it to you 30, 60, or 100 fold. Oh, I love the divine will. Do you read? No, I haven't got it. I talked to this woman once. She was reading the divine will since 1994. And I said, aren't the divine will writings great? And she says, well, I've only gotten to volume 10. I said, and you started in 1994? Well, I have so many other things that I'm doing. You started in 1994 and you're only in volume 10? I love the divine will. I love the divine. I talk to everybody about the divine will. Baloney. You know nothing about the divine will. You know 10%. Jesus says, how much do you want this? I will give to you as much as you want. And what does he base it on? How much interest you read, that you have in reading. Why, he says, because of the great good that I, God, want to do to the human family. So much so that you look upon them as my own writings. Do we do that? This is the illumination of conscience. What is this, the illumination of conscience coming? What could it possibly be? It's what Jesus taught Louisa. If you are reading this, you're going to be ready. And again, you can't force people to read. I understand that. You have to read for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners who don't want to read. They're too interested in other things, earthly things that are all going to disappear. We have to read for them. We have to stand in the breach for our brothers and sisters. It's not just your family, your friends, but for all mankind. Jesus says very, very clearly, he says, you have to understand that I, God, look upon the book of heaven as my own writings. Not your writings, Louisa. Not your interpretation of your writings, Louisa, but as my writings. The divine will is very, very simple. It is for children. Read this. What does Jesus say there? The book of heaven, Jesus sees as his writings. Do we believe that? Then read. Are you listening to Jesus? Then read. He says this. Because it is always I, God, the one who dictates to you, Louisa Picaretta. It's I, God, who dictates to you who are reading. I'm speaking to you, Jesus says. And you, Louisa, are the little secretary. We are the little readers of the long story of my most holy divine will. Do you hear what Jesus is saying to us? 5:21, 4:12, 19:27. Now, while I was doing this, I looked at the sky as it was strewn with white and luminous clouds, and my sweet Jesus, moving to my interior, told me, my daughter, look at these clouds. How beautiful they are. How they close the sky and form a beautiful ornament in the azure heaven, azure vault. But who was it that dispelled the darkness and put to flight the obscurity of the black shadows from within these clouds, transforming them into white and radiant clouds? It was the sun. By investing them with the sun's light, the sun made them lose their darkness and transformed them into clouds of light. So they are clouds, but no longer clouds that cast darkness and obscure the earth, but rather clouds that give light. And while before this the sun invested them, they seemed to disfigure the sky with their obscurity, taking the beauty of their azure away from it. Now they pay honor to it, and they form the most beautiful ornament. Now my daughter, Louisa, the pains, the mortifications, my privations, painful circumstances are like the clouds for the soul that gives darkness. This is where we are. But if the soul lets everything flow in my most holy divine will more than the sun and the sky, my divine will invests them and converts them into clouds most radiant light in such a way as to form the most beautiful ornament for the heaven of the soul. Your soul begins to experience heaven, the peace, the joy, the happiness of God. That's heaven. Jesus says, Those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are anticipating hell. Those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. Jesus says this very, very clearly. In my divine will, all things lose their dark side and oppress, and that oppresses, that oppresses and seems to disfigure the poor creature, and everything serves to give the soul divine light and to adorn the soul with radiant divine beauty. We're supposed to be like God, image and likeness. And I kept repeating to all of heaven, look at Louisa. That's Jesus saying, look at Louisa. How beautiful is the daughter of my most holy divine will, adorned with these white and radiant clouds. Louisa nurtures herself with divine light and my divine will. Investing her with its divine light converts Louisa into the most splendid light. Listen to what Jesus says. Look at Louisa. You're not going to find this in any of the saints. That you'll get glimpses of this in the saints. But to live in the divine will is possessed by Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. I know some people were talking about Joseph the other day. Oh, Joseph must have lived in the divine will. Jesus says no. Joseph was in the radiant light of Jesus and Mary living in the divine will. But what does scripture say? What did Jesus say? The greatest man born of woman is John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom, Louisa Picaretta, is greater than he. The littlest in the kingdom, Louisa Picaretta, is greater than he. Those are the words of Jesus. Well, the saints didn't say this. Yes, that's true. Why? The saints didn't read Louisa Picaretta. The saints didn't read the Book of Heaven. It's a deeper understanding of what Christ wants us to possess. It's not about being a good human. It's to enter into the divinity of humanity, sharing in the divinity. The priest puts a drop of water. We're that nothing, entering that cup filled with wine. That drop of water becomes wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ. We're not divine. Humans are not divine. But it's more than being good and holy and saintly. For example, Jesus says, Adam, when Adam sinned, he never made another sin. After the original sin, Jesus tells Louisa this. He never sinned again. But he repented with weeping tears for the rest of his life. 930 years of weeping. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't live in the divine will anymore. He lost it. All he could do what the saints have done, doing the will of God. Now Jesus says, after he has redeemed us and given us the kingdom of redemption with his blessed mother. Now he says to us, I want you to enter the kingdom of the divine will. Again, what Adam lost, I want you to begin to possess. Just think of what Adam's DNA looked like. It wasn't broken. It was in God's image and likeness. Our DNA now says what? We've got to die. This body is food for worms. We've got to die. Good. I don't want to live in this body. Can you imagine what we'd look like 100,000 years from now? We'd look like a mess. We'd look like a puddle of goo. So what God has done, he's saying, get ready. The new heavens, the new earth, the glorified body is coming. The kingdom is coming. What does this mean? No more worry, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more sin, no more death. The kingdom is coming. This is why Jesus wants us to read what he says to us. Volume 21, 4:12, 19:27. Now, while I was doing this, I looked at the sky, strewn with white luminous clouds, and my sweet Jesus moved my interior, told me, my daughter, look at these clouds, how beautiful they are, how they close the sky and form a beautiful ornament. Didn't we just read that? Okay, sorry. He repeats himself sometimes. Beautiful ornament, the azure vault. But who was to dispel the darkness and put to flight the obscurity, the black shadows with the clouds, transform them into white radiant clouds? Okay. By investing them, the sun. Okay, we just read that, didn't we?
Yes, Father. We're on volume 21 now, 4:16, 27.
All right. Oh. according to your
But it's nice to hear it again, Father.
Huh?
It's nice to hear it again.
Yes, okay. Okay, sorry about that. Volume 21, 416, 1927. The whole church takes from my life, drinking her fill at the font of my doctrine and dogma. This is so glorious. Each word of mine is a fountain placed in the mouth of each Christian. Each one of my examples is more than sun that illuminates, warns, fundicates, and makes the greatest sanctities mature. If one wanted to compare all the saints, all the good of all their pains and their heroism placed before my very short life on earth, they would always be tiny little flames before the great sun. And since the divine will reigned in me, all the pains, all the humiliations, all the confusions, contrasts, accusations that the enemy gave me during the course of my life and all my passions, everything served to their own humiliation and to their own greater confusion. So this is important. There will be people that will say no to the divine will. Jesus says it will serve to their own humiliation and to their own greater confusion. In fact, since the divine will was in me, it happened with me as with the sun. When the clouds entered through the lower air, it seemed to want to give affront to the sun by obscuring the surface of the earth, covering momentarily the vividness of the solar light. But the sun laughs at the clouds because they cannot have perennial life in the air. Their life is fleeting. A small wind is enough to make them dissolve, while the sun is always triumphant with its fullness of light that dominates and fills the whole earth. The same happens with me. Everything that my enemies did to me, even my very death, were like many clouds that covered my holy humanity. But the sun of my divinity, they could not touch. And as soon as the wind of the power of my divine will moved, the clouds dissolved. And more than sun, I, Jesus, rose again, glorious and triumphant, leaving the enemy more humiliated than before. My daughter, in the soul in whom my divine will reigns, with all its fullness, minutes of life are centuries. Centuries of fullness of all goods, while whoever does not reign, centuries of life are only minutes of goods that they contain. And if the soul in whom my divine will reigns should suffer humiliations, contrast pains, these are like clouds of the wind of the divine fiat that unloads over those who, to their own humiliations, have dared to touch the bearer of my eternal volition. There's nothing to worry about. This is a divine decree. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption was a divine decree, now sanctification is a divine decree. It's coming upon earth. And that's why Our Lady keeps on saying to us, get ready, get ready, get ready. Turn back to my son, Our Lady says. Turn back to the Savior of the world. Let's listen to Jesus. This is what the reading of the divine will is. This is God planned that you have the book of heaven. God planned this. I don't care who gave it to you. God gave it to you. God wants you to read this. Think about that. He didn't give it to St. Thomas Aquinas. He didn't give it to St. Francis of Assisi. He gave it to us. Why? He has plans. He needs us to cooperate. Read, study, put this into practice. Learn how to pray the rounds. Learn how to go through all of creation as Adam did, as Jesus did, as Mary did, as they taught Louisa. Pray the rounds. Enter into this life. It is a glorious and abundant life that's coming. And our God is asking us, he's pleading with us to give our fiat to what he, the Lord God Almighty, has blessed us with. Think about it. He has planned from the beginning of time that you live at this time. He has predestined you to live at this time. Why? To bring about the greatest of all the works given to mankind. To bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven with Louisa. That's Louisa's job. Listen to the Dawn of a Mystery. Listen to Archbishop Piccieri, what he says. It's Louisa's job to bring the kingdom. It's Louisa's job to express how this is going to happen. Read. It's astonishing. Everything that you've read in our dogma and doctrine, everything that you read in the breviary, everything that you read in sacred scripture, everything that you read with the lives of the saints becomes a reality with this great gift of the divine will. Why did they do what they do? Why did the saints did all that they did was to prepare for us to go one step further, Jesus is doing this in us. You have to understand, we're not doing anything. We're just cooperating. We're giving our fiat. Let it be done as you say, Lord. Total docility, total surrender, total submission so that the kingdom can be established. Trust in what Jesus says. Trust him. How glorious a day this is. So we'll end there. We'll be back at 12:45. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.